Thank you all for making it to the end of the day. I feel like people are pretty still energetic, you know. People aren't as exhausted at 5 o'clock as they might be. So thank you for that. We have, and I'd like to welcome Jerome from NATO. He's going to talk to us about a deployment for a specific operation, I think. So I'm really excited to find out what he's been doing. Please take it away. Please give me a round of applause. Thank you.
Hi. I hope everybody can hear me. Okay. Thanks. Hi, I'm Jeroen Fransen. I work for Allied Command Transformation for NATO. Allied Command Transformation is one of our strategic HQs, and I want to give you a little bit of a experience brief of what we, how we were using Matrix to support one of our main activities. I'm very sad that I cannot be there in Strasbourg. I'm actually now in Virginia, in my home, because we had some events that NATO currently has been dealing with, and they took away my time, so I was not able to make it. But I hopefully next year I will be there. And the good news is that I will be quicker than the 50 minutes that were allotted for me, so that you guys can actually also start your weekend. So let's get the show started. Introduction of where I work. I work in the innovation branch in Allied Command Transformation. Our main mission is to, in two words, to make to make NATO and the alliance more innovative. We do this through different ways. We have a mix of military and civilian people working us, different backgrounds. We work on software development. We try to work on processes. We also try to work on skills by providing upskilling for innovation. And we also started working on hardware-related solutions. All that just to make the alliance more innovative. We are not in the business of delivering full products. We are more in the business of discovering what's out there and seeing very quickly if it works. And Nice Messenger is actually one of these projects. So what is Nice Messenger? NATO interoperable instant communication environment, Messenger. This is the original slide. I showed this also last year when I briefed on Nice Messenger during the previous Matrix conference. It's basically set up to provide an alternative for all the other instant messaging environments that people used for doing their business, because we don't all have service phones. A lot of the stuff is being coordinated through other platforms. And by getting our own on-prem capability, we wanted to show that we can. And we have shown that. This is project started 3 years ago. We have now thousands of users, so it works. And we also wanted to discover more about what the difficulties would be to roll out something, what the technical problems could be, how we can solve them. So for us, it started as a discovery project to see and to experiment more in this environment. Well, we started off with in a proof of concept mode where we used the open source environment, the open source client, the open source Matrix server based on Docker. We were very limited in scope. We tried to do some post-quantum stuff, but that failed because of licensing issues, the fact that NATO doesn't have a open source policy. And we really didn't want to go into accreditation or single sign-on stuff, because that would just take too much of our time. This is how it started, but it very quickly took on. We very quickly realized that this has a lot of potential and actually could be used for supporting day-to-day work. So we have now thousands of users. 700 of them are monthly active users. It goes up and down a little bit. We are now using the Element Enterprise server, or I think it's now Synapse Pro called. The name changes sometime. But we still do it on-premise or in our own infrastructure. We have now official applications in the app stores, which is great and also very useful if you want to facilitate onboarding of people. We have been through a series of pen tests because it is our goal to also make it now what we call a NATO on class, which and the name is weird, but it's actually a classification. So it requires more work. It requires more pen testing, more rigid deployment, and we're working on getting it up to that level. We already started hardening it in comparison to what you can find in the normal element environment, in the sense that I'm hosting my own map service because I don't want to expose any metadata. We have our own on-prem identity service so that people can actually find each other again without exposing data to the outside environments. We disabled the rate shake. We only allow now people actually from NATO enterprise, which was not the case in the beginning. And we have certificate panning and a reduced federation. So it's moved away from what was initially a minimum viable product where we just wanted to experiment and see what works into more a production ready solution because we've got a clear demand signal from the operational community that they needed something as a nice messenger, something they can install on their own device, not to replace Teams or other collaboration tools, but just to provide an alternative for Signal or for WhatsApp. So we defederated. We started with a full federation, which was interesting. A lot of traffic coming in also from countries where we typically don't see traffic coming in from. We got away from that to be more secure and to have less issues and people getting upset about traffic coming in from more Eastern nations. So we stopped all this federation. We do have the need to work with some people outside of the NATO enterprise, and we're also still experimenting with the bridges towards Signal and WhatsApp. So what we did was we set up a third server, which we, and this is just a Docker-based server again, which we use to facilitate the collaboration or the onboarding of external people. So NATO people on the NATO side can talk natively with outside users temporarily, and then we can still stay in the own in the Matrix environment with all the security that that provides. We do this as a testbed, but initially it was set up as a testbed, but very quickly we realized that we definitely needed this for the project that I was working on, which was TaskRisX Baltic. Which was this. It's a very nice movie poster, but it actually describes pretty well what we tried to do, where we wanted to protect, where we actually were tasked very, very, in a very compressed time frame to do stuff underwater, in space actually as well, underwater, up underwater, and then in the air as well. And all this in the Baltic Sea, which had some unfortunate events in December last year. And this was this project was one of the NATO responses to this the problem that we had in the Baltic. So what was it about? We were set out to deploy unmanned assets. We had to do this in five different, we had to collaborate and initially had a deployment in five different locations where we had a lot of different vendors that had to be onboarded. They were all providing telemetry from their assets, telemetry, positional information, but also radar contacts, localized AIS and other sensors. We had about 6 weeks between the contract awards of these assets and the deployment in the Baltic Sea. And we also had to collaborate with NATO entities for data management purposes and other nations as well. And the main task of this was to demonstrate that we are able to very quickly deploy unmanned assets to improve the situational awareness in the Baltic Sea. And to demonstrate this, we had to set up a live streaming of data during the NATO summit in Den Haag, which was taking place in June. So you can see that there is a lot of coordination efforts implied by this project, a lot of real-time issues that had to be resolved. And I very quickly realized that it would be impossible to do this over email. So we immediately went for the solution where we would use Matrix as and try to do chat ops as much as possible so that we could move at speed and didn't lose too much time with all the email chains. This is just an example of the different classes of assets that we contracted out. So we had underwater assets, which we call UUV. uncrewed underwater vehicle. We also had USVs, uncrewed surface vehicle, and then UAVs, like typically what people now call drones, unmanned aerial vehicle. Different classes, different type of categories, and all deployed. Most of them were deployed in Denmark and in Finland, but there were some other assets as well. We had a research vessel that was deployed in the vicinity of Sweden that was providing a couple of assets. We were also collaborating with the US. They have a Task Force 66, which is heavily involved in everything that has to do with unmanned or uncrewed maritime capabilities, and we had a large deployment in Denmark. Spread out over these locations, the assets were mostly in the sea, in Denmark and Poland, and in these environments, obviously we were not able to cover the entire Baltic Sea because the Baltic Sea is pretty big, but it was a very interesting deployment. Here are some snapshots of what you can expect from these assets. So smaller boats, larger boats. Nobody is in them, obviously, because they're uncrewed. Some of them are fast, some of them are slow. The picture that you see at the bottom is a formation that we did with the boats to see what the difficulties are if you try to deploy them so close to each other. Very interesting exercise, a lot of coordination. In this slide, you can see what it looked like after all this telemetry and all these contact information, radar contacts, and etc. were ingested. We built a solution to ingest the telemetry to provide VPN connectivity, and then convert this telemetry into formats that the command and control systems of NATO understand. And this is a visualization. This is very similar to what we showed during the NATO summit, where you could see the little blue dots are the boats that we had. We had some sail drones out there as well. These are the guys with the large orange circles that you can see. And then the contact information that they got. So this was what it's all about. The boats by themselves were just platforms to collect data for us. So going to a little bit more to the matrix side of things, I already mentioned a lot of coordination. You can see here some graphs from my reverse proxy, where you can see that the proxy was being hit about 2 million times an hour during certain periods, every 2 hours, certain moments. We had a lot of messages coming in. You can see the spikes during in the diagram on the bottom right. You can see the number of messages coming in. There were 2 days of low ops where, and that's the trend you can see within that graph, where industry was allowed to prepare for then a 3-day 24/7 deployment, which is the spike that you see on the right side of that draw. So a lot of messages being sent, a lot of users all communicating, which was extremely good for us. And just to say that from a messages perspective, this is just traffic on the proxy, which is obviously much higher. But in one of the rooms, the room that we use in Denmark for coordination activities, we sent, there were in total of more than 4,000 messages sent in that room just to coordinate all the activities over there. Just for the technical coordination, we were at 2,400 messages. So you can see that's a large volume, 35 rooms that we set up for every industry partner and every other external party. We had rooms, and then rooms actually even split up per topic. Talking about more than 100 external users from industry that interfaced within the NATO enterprise, because on the NATO side, it was just not only with me. One of the large commands for maritime operations, MARCOM, was also heavily involved in this project, and they also used Matrix as their main NICE messenger, as their main driver to facilitate all the communication during this exercise or this operation. Going from all types of data of all types of message formats. This is one of my engineers trying to debug a problem that we have with one of our sail drones, where you can see the nice visualization of code in an element, which works very well and was very useful. This type of collaboration through chat is really a huge time saver in comparison to what we typically would do, where if you have a back and forth with emails or maybe trying to do it live, and then you have to set up a meeting, it takes forever. Here we could very quickly send out messages. Even before industry was deployed, we had multiple companies from the US collaborating with people in Europe, but doing it in chat is just, for me, made much more sense than trying to do it over email. Here you can see some examples of these rooms that we set up. For every room, for every industry partner, we set up a general management or general room, and then a more specific one for the tech people, so that the tech people could talk to tech people directly. Again, it's a huge saver. You need to have this type of direct one-on-one conversations to very quickly debug. We were dealing with live video streams from these assets, which is very fragile and very difficult to set up and requires constant attention. And this is something that we also, where Matrix became an indispensable tool. On the right-hand side, you can see the coordination room I just mentioned, where we were actually also using this room to do some operational messaging between industry partners. This was all non-classified, so there was no problem here. But it showed that there is value in doing this. We were not using any kind of templates or something. It's just any type of matrix-delivered templates for messages. I know that that capability exists, but we haven't used that. We just used pre-formatted message types. And on the left-hand side, you can see a picture of the day. Very easy to set up and takes away a lot of the work. I could just have my Stratcom people sitting in that room and problem solved. They have a repository of pictures coming in. That was, again, not how it's typically done, but for us, it proved to be very, very useful. I already mentioned this, sorry. Some best practices. Based on our experience, for the non-NATO people, the ones who are using our NATO Innovation Network Matrix server, we used a token-based onboarding process where we delivered a how-to with step-by-step screenshots and information on how they should onboard their people. So the company got a token for a number of users, and then they could onboard themselves. But it proved to be really necessary to have a dedicated person who can assist them. Onboarding is an issue. Once people are in the system, then it's fine. But it takes a while to it's important to get a critical mass of a couple of better user or good users on the company side, and then you can see that there is a network effect that they start, then it becomes much more easier. But the first users are always a problem, and you need a hands-on person to assist them if you don't want to waste too much time. We still had some issues with device verification. I know that there has been a lot of work on this to make that less of a problem, but we still had this. People are not used to this device verification and the multiple devices and then the passkey and all that stuff. It's it remains a problem, but I know that that will go away in the future. We had some decryption problems, but it was much, much, much better than the issues that we had the previous year. So I was not too worried about it, but it did happen. We also noticed that internally in NATO, despite the fact that this project exists already 3 years and I've been doing a lot of communication about it, it's clear that we still need to do some work on that. And it's obviously, for this type of setup, we're not really in the MVP sphere here anymore. So it's important to have some kind of a high availability setup. We did this. The server is hosted on a Proxmox solution, and there we had a high availability setup included. That is absolutely necessary, obviously, for you cannot afford to go to have your server go down at the moment that it becomes really, really critical. Another thing we did is, what is important, we failed to do that from the beginning, is to impose a file name, a naming convention for users. They can choose their own name. which is great. It allows for a lot of creativity, but it makes life also difficult or more difficult to find each other. So a naming convention is really good. We started asking people to start their name with a company and name and then their own name, so we could very easily filter them out in the different channels, and it's also more useful for people to find each other. I was very strict from the beginning for the room naming conventions. It was very important that we didn't start talking with one industry partner about problems that another industry partner had, that had to be separated. Can you guys still hear me? Oh, I think my audio cut out a little bit.
Yeah, we can hear you now. Please okay. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. So we use a naming convention to make sure that there was no confusion about which company was living in which room, that we were also clear about the target audience. So the tech rooms were marked as tech and the other ones were not marked. And we also made a distinction between internal rooms, the rooms that we just used for us for internal purposes, to make sure that we were not talking about internal stuff to industry partners. Sounds all very easy or self-explanatory, but if you have a large amount of rooms, it has a potential to become a very big mess. And this is why it's also very important that you set up the space, that you create the scaffolding yourself. I had a guy who was in charge of this to make sure that everything was done correctly and consistently, because otherwise it becomes a huge mess and then it becomes unmanageable. This is something I try to do now every single time. When we have external people in rooms, we mark them. So that there is no confusion, or that you don't start talking about internal kitchen to external users. I also try to use Matrix as a telemetry backbone, where I just wanted to see how I could push, how much telemetry data I could push into Matrix and then have it replicate to different locations. That was an experiment that we tried to do from a more resiliency perspective. We went from 40 to 80,000 messages per minute, status messages that were being sent out in our backbone, and that proved to be too much for Matrix. So I crashed my server. It got back up afterwards, but it was really not happy about the flood of data that was coming in. I still want to do this because it gives you a lot of value in the sense that you have the DAG, and if a connection goes down, they sync up again and all that stuff. I think it's interesting, but it's something we definitely need to have a look at again in the future. But we didn't do this. It wasn't the scope of our project to do it, but we had to let it go for now because it was just not technically feasible. Stuff that I'm thinking about in the future, and I promised you that would be quicker than the 50 minutes. I hope there will be some questions. One of the things that we noticed as well, and this chat ops thing is something to keep in mind for the future. We have now this large repository of messages. Some are not so relevant, others are actually very relevant. So they become a little bit artifacts. We should try or maybe try to use them as knowledge for the future, but it's not so easy to actually use them from a knowledge management perspective. Obviously, we did the manual exports for all the chat rooms, but it's not really a turnkey solution that can feed into your existing knowledge management, and that is something we might have to look at. Emails are a little bit better in that perspective. I'm also not 100% happy with the full text search capabilities that we have right now in the desktop, in Element in general. That's something we might have a look at in the future to see if we can feed this into a repository and then have some knowledge management over there. Another promising thing, we still haven't found time to do this, is using Matrix as a command and control type of layer to provide command and control layer with a third room has, from in my perspective at least, a lot of potential. It would be very cool if we would have been able to show all the assets in a 3D space like in third room, but we just didn't have time to do this. Or Odin. Odin is a somebody sent it to me. It seems to be a very interesting, more really C2-oriented solution that runs over, that uses Matrix as a communication protocol. And I think that is very interesting for us. We will definitely have a look at that when we find the time. We have now a new project that came up, the Counter UAS project, and I want to give Matrix telemetry another go there, but we need to be smart, probably smarter about how we do this. The accreditation is still a big project for us to get that done. It takes time. It's and then move my NATO Innovation Network server to Kubernetes, because that seems to be the better way to do it. And the last one is using Matrix specifically over a meshed VPN. We started using meshed VPNs. We did, for the last part of our exercise, which I didn't mention, we did a deployment a couple of weeks ago in Spain. And there we experimented with the meshed VPN, and it worked actually very well. So I'm very interested in using that more and then seeing how we can run Matrix over that, because the meshed VPN solution that we use has also an internal DNS, and then that should be okay, should be good enough, but to be seen. That's it. So two indispensable technologies to do a project like we did now with Task Force X. On the left-hand side, you can see a bunch of Starlink terminals. Without Starlink, we wouldn't have had this project. All the boats at Starlink, everybody ashore had Starlink. I had my own Starlink. Everybody was using Starlink. But if Starlink would have not be available, then we would have probably, we would have had large problems. And then the second one was Matrix. I don't think we could have done what we have done right now at the speed that we did it without the real-time collaboration capabilities that we had with Matrix. And I'm now available for questions.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's just a really excellent presentation. I'll just take questions in a sec. First of all, thank you. Yeah, really for sharing such a detailed explanation. Email would have been bonkers for the level of detail and communication that you were using. You referred to it a couple of times as a replacement. I don't know if you've done things of this size on email, but yeah, real time is clearly a better choice. I also want to say thank you, and everybody should note that. Including the human factors like the onboarding and consistent naming conventions for a project of that size. Did you consider using the spaces feature, or are you so familiar with this naming convention that was actually a better choice for you?
No, actually we used space. I have a bunch of spaces. I think I have like easily 30 different spaces in my element, and all these rooms, the 35 rooms, were grouped under one space.
Right, got you. I see. That was already within a space. I see. Yeah. I see. Fantastic. And the move to Kubernetes is, something we're super, super impressed by. Are there local questions from the room? Somebody had something, did I see? Oh, one here.
So you said that, by the way, thank you for a very interesting talk. So you said you pre-created your rooms before you started. Did you have some template structures there and you auto-created them, or how did you do that?
Yeah, no, it was all elbow grease. We didn't template it in that sense. I just had a guy who set it up. It goes very quickly. Once he had clear guidelines on what was expected, we did the onboarding process company by company. We kept track of all that, and this was one of the ticks that he had to do in the onboarding process, because there was more stuff that had to be done. And creating the room was something that it went very quickly. And setting up an automation for 35 seems, from a nerd perspective, I would say it seems very cool, but in this case, I don't think it was useful.
And second question, did you then auto-invite the people into these rooms, or were they then, how was that process?
Yeah, we pulled them in. So we made sure that they had an account, then we created the rooms, and then my onboarding person started pulling them in. And again, there you have a network effect. Once you have a couple of people in from the company, they start inviting their colleagues, and then it just starts becoming a self-organized thing. What I didn't mention is that I should have mentioned that is another one of my golden rules is every room needs at least two admins, so that you have redundancy there as well. I should have added in my slides, but once you have that in place, 2-3 guys are in there, and then the rest goes automatically.
That is really good advice. We've learned that ourselves. Maybe you should be writing a best practices guide for Matrix. It sounds good. Are there any other local? Oh, here we go.
Yeah, thanks for the good presentation. Last year, you mentioned that you developed for your bridge between the very secret part and the not-so-secret part, artificial intelligence with your own rack. Couldn't you use that one for the putting down the documentation, which you miss now? You know, what's happening, the message?
Yeah, that's a valid point. I haven't thought about that, but that's an interesting idea. Yeah.
Okay,
I'm still having the thing, by the way. I'm now using the Etika robot as an interface, which is very good, actually.
Okay, so thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw a hand here first. So.
Thank you. Thanks for the great talk again. You mentioned at some point that you are tagging external users. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
It's just in the external rooms. We just add a tag ext in there so that people see it. I understand that this is something that has been worked on, or it should be worked on maybe from a Matrix perspective as such, but we just did it with clear text. There is no metadata way of, to my knowledge at least, there is no metadata way of doing it, but maybe you guys know more than I do. But it's something that definitely if we start thinking about moving, and this is something I've already discussed with the Matrix company as well, Met Element. If you start talking about moving unclassed into higher classifications, then this becomes a real important parameter that needs to be a metadata aspect. But right now we just did it with clear text.
Okay, when you say clear text, you mean in the person name? Or?
Yeah. Okay, and the room name. Thank you. In the room name. Yeah.
Somebody here? Yep.
Hello, yeah, thanks for the talk. I was wondering, did you make any modifications to the client or any other Matrix platform to better fit your needs, or just out-of-the-box clients as such? Or are you thinking to make any changes?
From a client perspective, the mobile client is something that is customized, like as I mentioned in my presentation, but that is being done by the Element company because the entire NICE messenger team in NATO is here. You're talking to him, the team. There is nobody else, so I rely on what the Element services. So besides that, we haven't done anything specific to harden it. The only customization that we did in the web client that we use is using the on-prem map server and some other minor details. But I haven't touched any code right now because we just don't have the capacity to do that by ourselves. Honestly, I've just tried to be as vanilla as possible. And in the Android client and in the iOS client, we have just a different UX scheme that is being used with colors and icons, and that's it. The rest is almost vanilla element.
Okay, well, I would like to know if you also include voice and video in your experience.
Yeah, we used it. I actually used it for my daily stand-up when I was in Denmark. My colleague was in Finland, and we had another person. So for the daily stand-ups, we used it, yes. We didn't use it as much with industry because we don't really have have the need as much, and we also have the availability of other platforms, but internally we use it, yes, and it worked pretty well. Okay. I have to say, got much better than in the past.
Okay, so when you mentioned in the best practice the high availability, this include also voice and video capabilities, or only your initial feature, which is messaging?
High availability, because there are obviously multiple several ways to do this. Mine was very down to earth. This was just done on a on the Proxmox the container high availability module that you have. So it's basically everything or nothing. It's not really an elegant solution, but it was good enough for what we needed. So voice and was included because it's just a server that switch over between hosts when there is an issue. It's really like container-like high availability. It's not the elegant high availability that we should use, but yeah, we didn't have time.
I saw a hand already. I'll just bring this round.
Thanks again. You're talking about the tagging of external collaborators. Did you consider setting up a second home server that you would add those external collaborators onto, which then at the end of the mission you could then tear down and ensure that there was no ongoing access?
Yeah, that's exactly what we did with the NIN server that I mentioned in the diagram. This server is... the NIN server here is set up especially for that purpose.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Great.
Cool. Okay, we have time for more questions. We actually have time for real questions if people would like to give any more. I'll check the room once more. Oh, a question? No. I will check the room once more just to give Jeroen a last chance. No? Okay, well, then please, thank you again. Let's give a big round of applause. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Okay,
bye.
Are we offline? bye then, bye. Just local matters. I've been told twice now that there's a big party going on. Oh, Jeroen, are you still there? Sorry. Question. An absolute last-minute question. Sorry, I haven't read this. You mentioned that you had issues integrating data from Matrix into your existing knowledge base. Also, that the export chat feature just wasn't enough. What would you see as enough in this situation? A bot that joins your rooms, for example, and dumps Matrix events in their native JSON format? Or what is the format that you're looking for, I guess?
I have to admit that I haven't given this a much thought, but it would indeed be probably something like this bot. I know that we have, because I use the Element Pro or the... Yeah, the Element Pro version that I have this audit bot capability, but I don't want to use it because we don't have a policy on it, and I don't want to be the guy who starts looking in everybody's conversations. So that bot is, that functionality is not active. But I agree that some kind of a bot in there would be cool. And then JSON, which is would be an intermediate format. Ideally, I think it should feed into. We use Confluence for knowledge management. Something like that would be interesting if you would have a bot that can then just over an API or something like that create a log. Or I'm just thinking out loud here, but JSON.
So yeah. He's not in here, right? Halfshot's not here. So the Hookshot bot is it would be a really nice use case for that. It's essentially and it already connects to other Atlassian products. So that's kind of interesting. It's also good funny to think that everything just ends up in Jira, even with NATO. All right, I think that really is the last of the questions now. So thank you again, Jeroen. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay.